All right, welcome back. Sunday, CBS kicks off its Super Bowl season. J.J. Watt and the Texans tackle Brady and the Patriots. Pittsburgh collides with Cleveland. Buffalo battles Baltimore. Cincy clashes with the Colts. And the Chargers welcome Kansas City. It all begins at 12 Eastern, 9 Pacific with the NFL Today. Presented by Jeep with J.B., Phil, Coach, Nate, and Boomer. Ready for the wild ride to Super Bowl 53 on CBS. From the NFL to college football we go. Joining me now is Chris Vanini from The Athletic. Chris, how you doing? Good morning.
I'm doing well. Excited for another day of football. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And this, to me, this is always a great week because now we have college and the NFL for the first time in the same weekend for a very long time. It's exciting. But let's go back to last week. Great start to the college football season. A lot of matchups of ranked teams. And, you know, I work here in Ohio. So we spent the week making fun of Michigan a little bit for losing to Notre Dame. But do you look at that as a bad loss or not really? Because Notre Dame's a good team as well.
You know, I was impressed with Notre Dame. I think they're going to be better than we thought at the beginning of the year. But it was also extremely discouraging for Michigan because you expected more growth on offense. The offensive line still looks like a mess. Quarterback Shea Patterson looks like an improvement over what they had before, but not a huge improvement. So we'll have to kind of see here how those teams evolve as the year goes on.
Chris, when you look at, you know, the teams, obviously that was a game, you know, with two good teams, and there were a few matchups with two good teams last week, but a lot of times early in the season, teams are playing competition where they're overmatched. And you look, whether it's Ohio State or Alabama, whoever it may be, when you try to evaluate players, especially new players, obviously Ohio State's got a new quarterback who looked great, but when they're playing an opponent that's so bad, how do you evaluate it? How should fans evaluate it when it's a bad opponent?
You know, when you're beating an FCS team by 50 points, I don't put much stock into it. I mean, I do a ranking of all 130 teams, and I moved Georgia and Clemson down to around like 7 or 8 on my rankings. I moved up Virginia Tech, LSU, Auburn, the teams that played somebody, because I try to base my evaluations off of solely what we've seen and who you've beaten. So that'll change. I mean, Clemson plays A&M today, so we're going to actually know what Clemson's got. But it's hard to put much stock in anything when you beat a bad team at the beginning of the season. It's always better to win them than to lose them. But
sure.
It's hard to really take much from it.
Chris Vanini of The Athletic is with us. Chris, it feels like LSU in a lot of years gets off to a good start and then they play Alabama or another good SEC team and somewhere in the middle of the season, it all comes apart. LSU, you know, wins impressively over Miami in their opener last Sunday. How good can LSU be this year?
I was quite surprised by LSU because heading into the season, they've got a really difficult schedule. You wondered if 7-8 wins might happen, and you see what they did against Miami, and that kind of changes things. Now they've got Auburn next week, so that'll, you know, like these games keep coming. They've got Auburn next week, they've got Ole Miss 2 weeks after that, Florida the week after that, then Georgia, then Mississippi State, then Alabama. So this is never going to end. Week after week almost with LSU once they get into SEC play is going to be real tough. But I think there are reasons to be optimistic. Quarterback Joe Burrow, his final numbers weren't great, but he was in control. He was confident. I think there's a lot that LSU can build off of that Miami win.
Chris, you know, with Alabama, obviously Tua Tagovailoa, I think I got it right. He, you know, threw the majority of the passes in the game for Alabama in week one, but Jalen Hurts was still in the mix. Is Nick Saban making a mistake not making Tua the guy 100%?
What I think Nick wants to do is I don't think he wants to lose Jalen Hurts to a transfer. I mean, it was a couple years ago when Blake Barnett transferred after a couple games into the season when Jalen Hurts won the job. And Saban knows that a lot of times you need two quarterbacks. I mean, Georgia last year played two quarterbacks. Alabama needed two quarterbacks in the championship game. I don't think he wants Jalen to transfer right now. Now, Jalen can play one season and graduate and have years to play elsewhere. So I think that's what Saban's doing. He doesn't want to create a divide in there. Maybe Jalen is fine with that role. You know, I'm not totally sure, but I think he's trying to balance things right now, but it's clear that Tua is the best option for that team.
We're talking with Chris Fanini, national college football writer for The Athletic. Was there a team that, besides LSU, who we talked about already, a team we haven't mentioned, that really stood out to you or maybe surprised you in week one, either good or bad?
I thought Stanford looked pretty good in handling San Diego State, who's always a solid team. And it was pretty clear that San Diego State's game plan was to just bottle up Bryce Love. They held him to, I think, less than 2 yards per carry, which is pretty crazy for him. And Stanford responded by throwing a lot and having a big game in the passing game with KJ Costello at quarterback. So if Stanford has a passing game to help Bryce Love when he's not, when all the focus is on him, that could mean big things for the Cardinal.
Rough start for Chip Kelly's career at UCLA. Loses to Cincinnati in week one. They have a much tougher opponent and very much in danger of going 0-2 when they go to Oklahoma. Do you think UCLA has any chance in this game? And how do you think it's going to go for Chip Kelly there?
Yeah, I don't see any chance for UCLA. I think they're like a 30-point underdog today in Oklahoma, which is pretty crazy. But, you know, he doesn't totally have the pieces yet that he wants. I think Chip Kelly will get it going at UCLA, but that offensive line is brutal. It has been brutal for the final few years under Jim Mora. And that's extremely important in an offense like Chip Kelly runs. So it'll take a few years, but I think Chip will do well there. He's a smart guy. He knows how to adapt. It'll take some time until he kind of has what he wants.
All right, more likely to cover the spread today, Arkansas State plus 36.5 against Alabama, or Rutgers plus 35.5 against Ohio State?
I'll go Arkansas State, in part because I don't think Rutgers has scored against Ohio State in the last 2 years. The Rutgers-Ohio State games have been absolutely brutal. Alabama against lower opponents, it does not often run them out of the building. And I actually think Arkansas State's a pretty good team, and they could put up a bit of a fight. They've got some really big wide receivers. They've got a really good quarterback in Justice Hansen. And the questions we have about Alabama right now are their secondary. So maybe Arkansas State can make some plays in the game to keep it a little bit closer. I think Arkansas State's got a fair shot.
You know, you mentioned Stanford earlier from week one. They host USC this week. That should be a great game. What do you make of that matchup?
Yeah, I mean, I think – you know, Stanford, like I mentioned, really rose. A lot of people are really impressed with them. Well, we're kind of overlooking USC, which just, you know, played UNLV and is dealing with a freshman quarterback. This is a game that's always been close. It's always played a lot in the Pac-12. I think USC's got a real shot, and Stanford's favored by about 5 or so.
Yeah.
I could really see this game going either way. And if Stanford wins again and wins in impressive fashion, suddenly that's a team we'll start thinking about possibly for the playoffs if they win the Pac-12.
Another game of two ranked teams this afternoon, 3:30 Eastern. You got Georgia, South Carolina in the SEC. South Carolina's a 9.5-point dog at home. Could we possibly see an upset here?
I think it's possible. I mean, I'm higher on South Carolina than a lot of other people are, I think. I think Jake Bentley's a really good quarterback. I think Will Muschamp has, you know, kind of what he wants to run. He's got offensive skill and things that he couldn't get done at Florida. His second chance, he really seems to understand how things work better this time. And South Carolina's a tough place to play. I give the Gamecocks a shot for sure.
Yeah, it's funny. Most of the other matchups, you know, involving, besides the games where you got a couple of ranked teams, most of the other ranked teams are really playing terrible teams. You know, Michigan State's playing Arizona State, and you know, Penn State's playing Pitt. I guess those games aren't that. Most of the others are pretty awful. Who's the ranked team that you could see maybe getting upset by an unranked team this week?
I think Michigan State is going to have its hands full tonight. The Big Ten traveling to the Pac-12 is always weird. Michigan State hasn't won out west for a regular season game in forever. That game's a 10:30 Eastern kickoff, so you got to wonder.
Yeah, 10:45 actually. 10:45. Yeah.
The old body clock. How Michigan State will handle it. They've got a quarterback who's from Arizona. Does he keep his emotions under control? And they got a receiver in N'Keal Harry, who's one of the best in the country. And so I'm really interested by that matchup. But the Big Ten traveling out west, always is weird. I mean, the last time, you know, Wisconsin went there a couple years ago and they lost because they couldn't spike the ball in time to get a field goal off is really weird. Things just happen when the Big Ten goes to the Pac-12. So I'm expecting that to be another strange game, whoever's up for it by the end.
Oh, we're talking with Chris Vanini from The Athletic. Chris, you know, obviously we now for a few years have the college football playoff. We have the four teams. Do you like it? Would you like to go back to the old system? Would you like to see them go to eight teams? What would you change? What do you think of it?
I think it's a lot better than what it was. I think the problem is the criteria for getting in seems to change. The fact that Alabama got into the BCS championship without winning its division, the fact that Alabama got into the playoff without winning its division kind of changes things. You know, Ohio State had much better wins than Alabama did last year, but Alabama didn't have a bad loss like Iowa. So I would rather have the teams that beat people and win their conference championship get in, but I'd prefer to move it to eight. You got the five conference champions that make your conference championship mean a lot. You've got two wild cards, and you've got a group of five, top-ranked group of five team, and I think that'd be the best way to do it. You could put the first games on campus in the middle of December to give some guys some time off. But I also think if you do that, you gotta kind of let teams play more players. Maybe guys who are getting redshirted can play, because teams that make to the playoff final right now really are banged up. 15 games is a lot for these kids, and I think there's ways to kind of alleviate all that work as well.
I agree, and I think you're right. I think they should. I think eight's the perfect number. I think any more than that would be too much. But I have heard a lot of people say, well, if you go to eight, then it takes the value out of the regular season. I don't buy that at all. In fact, I think you could argue it makes it more valuable, because there are teams now that really, like, if you're not in a Power Five conference, you have no chance to make the playoffs. Well, now you would. Now your season essentially means more. And a situation like last year where UCF is now running around telling everybody they're the champions, well, they would have had the chance to prove that potentially last year. So I do think, I mean, if four's, I agree with you, four is better than what we had. I think eight's the perfect number. I don't want it to go more than that, but I think eight would be just perfect.
Yeah, and it would make the right, if the conference championship gets you in, it makes the regular season extremely important, because yeah, you got to win your division and then win your conference, so.
Yeah, absolutely.
Plus, Alabama has made the playoff twice without winning its division, so who's to say the SEC championship mattered, you know?
You're exactly right. That's right. That's the way it's turned out, because, you know, in the end, the committee says, well, we think they're one of the four best teams. And you should have to earn it more, and it would be different. It would change it, and it would create some guarantees. But I don't know. Sometimes the complaining and the talk is not necessarily bad for college football, you know?
No, that's what makes this sport so much fun. And, you know, you don't need to make the playoff for it to be a successful season. That's one thing I love about college football, is that between making a bowl game, between making your various, your rivalry games, divisions, conferences, playoffs, there's almost always something for everybody to play for. And that's why it's not like the NBA or the NFL where you think your team sucks and it's not worth watching anymore. There's always something to play for, so I always like that about college football.
Chris, I don't mean to put you on the spot, so if you don't have a good answer, it's fine. But is there a player that you've been thinking about that, like, you think that maybe he's a little under the radar, that could end up being a guy that, you know, in 3-4 months we're talking about as a hot NFL prospect that's not really getting a lot of buzz right now? Anybody that comes to mind?
I don't know if he'd be an NFL prospect, but I think North Texas quarterback Mason Fine is going to be a really, really good player this year. North Texas plays at Arkansas next week, and I'm very interested in that game. Mason Fine is a really little kid, broke all the high school passing records in Oklahoma, but because he was so tiny, no Division I teams offered him. North Texas decides to get in on him late. They get him. He's the Conference USA Offensive Player of the Year last year. He threw for 450 yards last week against SMU. I don't think he's going to get a lot of NFL buzz, but he's an overlooked guy. I think we're okay. going to be talking about in college football.
I like it. Chris, thanks. Appreciate the time, man.
Yep. Thanks for having me.